Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast again today. We are continuing to share with you on the subject of God's plan of redemption. And this is the most exciting understanding that you'll ever get as you see what happens through the Word of God, through the time of creation, all the way up to the time of Jesus being resurrected from the dead and the new covenant coming into being, praise God. When you hear these messages one after another, you are going to be blessed, praise God, after you hear all these. We've talked about the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We saw the earth was without form, it was void. The darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving and brooding. God began to bring forth the creation. He spoke it into being. He kept on saying, God said, God said, God said, and He brought it into being. He divided the waters from the firmament. There was waters above and waters below. And in the firmament, which is an expanse, that's where He gathered the waters below. And He made the dry land, which was the earth, and gathered the waters together below that were the seas. And then He brought in all the grass and all the trees, and then He brought in all the living creatures from the fish and the birds. And then it came to the place where He was making man. He made man in our image. He says, let us make man in our image. And what's the image of God? He is a spirit. How did God make man? He made him out of the dust of the ground. He formed his body. He breathed into him the breath of life, which is his spirit, and he became a living soul. Every one of us have a spirit. We have a soul, and we have a physical body. He set him in the garden and told him to dress it and to keep it or guard it from intruders, and that would imply that the intruders were out there that would like to get into God's creation. And, of course, that was the devil. And so he made a helpmeet for him, made him male and female. He blessed them, said to be fruitful, multiply them, replenish the earth. He gave them dominion in the earth. Remember, the earth was created to be inhabited, and man was created in the image of God because he wanted to have a family. The earth the Lord's, but he gave it into the hands of men. And now the man was given dominion. He had delegated authority. Now, during this time of God's creation, something had already occurred in heaven, and this involved the angels. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us, the heirs of salvation. But prior to that, these angels are those that are the host of heaven that were in heaven. And there are three classifications of angels. There are the warrior angels, there are the messenger angels, and there are the praise and worship angels. And there's an archangel over each one. And the archangel over the praise and worship angels was Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He was not satisfied to be the shining one. Lucifer means the shining one or the light bringer. He was the leader of the praise and worship in heaven. He was a powerful, anointed angel. And remember, angels are created beings. They are created, but they were not created in the image of God. They're created in a different class. But Lucifer was not satisfied. He wanted to be like God. And it's very important that we realize that his rebellion caused him to be kicked out of hell. And because of that fact, that with one-third of the angels that fell, his name, of course, was changed to Satan. And Satan now is the adversary. And what happened? He was brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Where's hell? And where's the sides of the pit? Hell is in the center of the earth. This means that at the time of the fall, the earth was already created, as well as hell. This shows you the fact that this fall occurred before God created the earth, as well as having a hell, and hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41. Where is hell? Hell is in the center of the earth. Proverbs 15:24 says hell is beneath. Jonah 2 talks about the belly of hell down to the bottoms of the mountains, and there's bars above it showing that hell is in the center of the earth. We know that Jesus went down to hell. Matthew 12:40 says that he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart or the center of the earth, and he descended first into the lower parts of the earth, and that is the area of hell. And so we see that Lucifer, who was in that tremendous position of being the archangel of God to lead the praise and the worship in heaven, fell. We see another scripture that talks about him. It's over in Ezekiel 28:12, where it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. He was a beautiful creature. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Music was in him. Harmony was in him. That's why he distorts that today and leads people into demonic-inspired music, the rock music of today, with all the Satanists that follow after those ways. They get into Satanism so easily when they follow music that comes from him. In verse 14, it says, Thou art the anointed cherub. That was the high-ranking angel there that covereth the throne. And he says, I've set thee as thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Remember, angels are created. And he was created perfect. Till iniquity was found in thee. Remember, he was the anointed cherub, and iniquity was created by him and found in him. Because of that fact, he says, you've sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. He says that in verse 16. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Why did he fall? It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was a very beautiful creature. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He had a lot of wisdom, but now it was corrupted because he was such a beautiful creature, and he was the light bringer, very bright creature. He says, I'll cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings, that thou may behold thee. He was cast out. And so Satan, now Lucifer's cast out, and his name is changed to Satan. And I'll tell you, these fallen angels that went with him, they're all reserved in everlasting darkness. In fact, 2 Peter 2:4 says, If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. The angels, the fallen angels, are in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Jude 6 says this, The angels which kept not their first estate, that's where they were in heaven, but left their own habitation because they followed Satan, they followed Lucifer. And it says, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. There's no salvation for Lucifer or his angels. Instead, they're destined now to everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment. And of course, Lucifer is now called Satan. He is the adversary of man. And he's the one who came to get to man in order to take away that authority and to bring man into bondage under his dominion. We see in Genesis 3:1 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. This is the way the devil works. He comes and tries to get you to doubt God's word. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. He said, Don't eat, but there's nothing recorded in the word of God about touching. Yet she added to the word of God there. She obviously didn't have things straight in her mind. She was easily deceived. In fact, the Bible says the woman was deceived and the man was not. So the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die. That's what he's going to say. The devil comes to us and says the opposite of what God's word says. He tells lies. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. He knew exactly what he was doing. The woman was deceived. 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. The woman was deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing, and he gave that authority that had been delegated to him over into the hand of Satan, who was God's enemy. He submitted himself. He committed high treason against God by partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he died immediately. He ended up dying physically some 930 years later. Then here the curse came upon them. Their eyes were opened. They were separated from God. They hid themselves from the presence of God. And they were afraid. They had not known fear before. This is because of the fall. Fear came, sickness came, death came, poverty came, all kinds of destruction. And the curse came upon the man, the curse came upon the woman, and the curse also came upon the serpent who was put on his belly all the days of his life to eat that dust. But I'll tell you, God had a plan. And the plan is a plan of redemption, to redeem man, to purchase him back, to bring him back into relationship with him. Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity, that's hatred, between thee and the woman. This is God speaking to the devil. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, that's the seed that would be coming from man, who is Satan now is Lord over man. Between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed. That's the seed of the woman. And that is prophetic of the virgin birth, that Jesus was going to come forth born of a woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus was bruised, but it says it. This is the seed of the woman. This is Jesus. Shall bruise thy head. That means break the lordship of a ruler. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was the one who came and redeemed us. And he broke the lordship of Satan over mankind. He set you free. He liberated you from his bondage. He had us bound. Satan had the keys of hell and death. But Jesus came and he took away the keys of hell and death. He went through the avenue of death to get to him that had those keys, the power, and break the power of the devil over mankind. And now he's redeemed us. And if you're born again, you belong to the Lord. And you're going to walk with him and live an eternal life with the Lord forever. We're going to talk more on God's plan of redemption next broadcast. We'll see you then. God bless you.